You can choose to focus on everything that's gone wrong in your story. Or you can choose to remember the love of your Father who will never quit on you. And that you are indeed loved more than you know.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you're joining us today in our sermon series in the book of Malachi. And we're talking about those times when I don't feel God's love. I don't know that I even see God's love. And I'm just kind of mired in that doubt. This is where you're taking us today, yes?
Yeah, well, this is hard theology, right? The reality that sometimes the love of God comes to us, not with just candies and joy and everything's happy, but sometimes it comes to us in terms of disciplining love, that our good God, our loving Father, not only is he going to give good gifts to his kids, he's going to discipline us. He's going to grow us up. He's going to train us. And that actually is love in action in our lives.
Discipline because he loves.
Because he loves. And so sometimes there are hard things in our life that God has allowed because he knows they're ultimately for our good and for his glory, and that he is growing us into the kind of people who are resilient and strong and who can face things. And so sometimes God's loving discipline comes into our life. His tough love is full of tender mercies. And even though that's hard for us to receive, it's still true. And so the question is, how do we respond? How do we cling to his love in the midst of hard things? And that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Well, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we see God's amazing covenant love for his people. This is part 3 of the sermon, Doubting God's Love. The text is Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 through 5.
God says, look, Edom has no hope. They have no future. They have no standing because they are under my judgment for all time. Unlike you, O Israel, my chosen people. Oh, yes, I sent you into exile for a while, but I didn't forget you. I remembered you, and I brought you back into your land, and you have now rebuilt your city. You've strengthened the wall. You've established the temple, and hope is shining once more. The covenant is not broken. The promise still stands. Messiah is coming, and you endure as my people because of my enduring faithfulness. When you compare the fate of Edom and Israel, of Esau and Jacob, can you not see my love for you in all of this? Verse 5, your own eyes shall see this, and you shall say, great is the Lord, the covenant-keeping God, beyond the border of Israel. You will one day see that I am the Lord God, that I am the sovereign one of the nations, that I reign over the affairs of men. Can you not even see it now? That you are my chosen ones, that you endure because of my enduring love and faithfulness. Can you not see my love for you in all of this? I chose you. I've preserved you. I've defended you. I've sustained you. I disciplined you, and I forgave you, and I have restored you. And even now I am bearing patiently with you, and I will be faithful to you because I'm not done with you. I am sending Messiah to you, and I will make a new covenant with you, and I am preparing glory for you, and I'm just getting started because I love you. Won't you believe me? Won't you believe me? Because, friends, God is forever faithful to his chosen ones. Do you believe that? God is forever faithful to his chosen ones. Oh, sometimes it's hard to see it. Friends, God's love for you is bigger than a cancer diagnosis. Do you believe that? God's love for you is greater than a job loss. Do you believe that? God's love for you is wider than a series of relational rejections. Do you believe that? That God's love for you is deeper than all the financial losses you will ever face. Do you believe that? If you need proof that suffering in life can coexist with being loved by God, just look at Jesus. Just look at Jesus. There was never one more righteous, never one more holy, never one more loved by God. And yet he had a very difficult life. God's faithfulness in the life of Jesus, his love was displayed through crucifixion into glory. And your life may be full of crucifixions, and his love will be displayed as he brings you to glory. This is tough love, but there are tender mercies, you see. See, you and I can focus in these moments when life gets hard, we can focus on all our disappointed dreams, all the things we hoped would be, like Israel did. And we will end up convincing ourselves that we are miserably unloved. We will falsely assume that if God loves us, everything in life should go our way. But that's not reality. Jesus proves otherwise. But if instead of focusing on all our disappointed dreams, if we focus on his graces that are with us all along the way, in the good times and the bad times, as his goodness and mercy is following us all the days of our lives, so that we might dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore, that his graces are faithfully bearing us unto eternity, preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison in his redeeming love. Even when life doesn't go our own way, it is worth it in the end, because through it all, we are getting more and more of our Jesus, of our God. See, we can dwell in life on the gaps or the graces. The gaps, everything that would make you question whether you're loved, or the graces that are confirming his love for you. If you dwell on the gaps, and there's plenty of them, you'll begin to doubt his love. But if you dwell on his graces, and they are abundantly there if you will willingly distill them out, you will learn to trust his love for you. This is why we need God's word, God's promises, stories of his character and movement toward us, that he is for us, never against us. This is why we need to be in the word. We need to hear his voice reminding us of his grace and his love. It's why we need community. We need to be with God's people, because sometimes you're not strong enough to hold on to the graces of God, and you need brothers and sisters around you who will hold you and remind you of what's true when you can't believe it. We need the word. We need God's people. It's where we get our courage. I recently rewatched Finding Nemo. You saw this coming, didn't you? Yeah. I recently rewatched it with my kids. It's a fascinating story. In disobedience, Nemo is separated from his father, imprisoned, put into a fish tank where he lives a sub-fish life. Cursed, if you will. He tries to get out. He can't save himself. he loses courage. Unbeknownst to him, his father is pursuing him in love, battling sharks and jellyfish, crossing his endless ocean of fear to reach his son. And Nemo doesn't know that. And then Nigel the pelican, remember him? He flies in and he says, everyone's talking about it. This father who's crossing the ocean because he loves his son. And when Nemo hears the good news of the love of his father who will never stop pursuing him in love, that's coming for him, his son, his chosen one, Nemo finds the courage to live. Friends, that's a gospel story. That's a gospel story. And in the fish tank of your suffering, in the miserable, dehumanizing box that you live in, you can choose to focus on everything that's gone wrong in your story. Or you can choose to remember the love of your father who will never quit on you. And that you are indeed loved more than you know. Remember, you are loved more than you know. There's a reason I say that so often. We need to remember because we tend to forget. There's a reason the Bible is always reminding us of the truth and calling us home. We need to remember because we're prone to doubt. We need to remember because the gaps will come. We need to remember because the gospel is the best news we will ever hear. And your father loves you. And he's battled more than sharks and jellyfish. He took on sin and death and hell, and he's coming for you. This is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. 1 John 3:16. You have so much greater reason to believe in the love of God than Israel did now that you're on this side of the cross. Look at Jesus. See his love. Hear him say, I chose you. I died for you. I graced you. I forgave you. I will preserve you, and I will defend you and sustain you, and I will restore you, and I will bear patiently with you. I will be faithful when you are faithless, and I am not done with you. I am coming back for you. I am preparing for you glory beyond all comparison. I am just getting started with you because I love you. Won't you believe it? Won't you believe it? Friends, you are loved more than you know. Remember it.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you're joining us today in our discussion as we dig deeper into remembering God's love. Pastor Philip, boy, remember God's love. How do we remember God loves us in the good times as well as in the bad times?
Well, I think one of the things we have to learn to do, and this is not easy, is to disconnect our circumstances from the foundational reality of the gospel in our lives. In other words, you don't look around and say, well, how am I doing with God? Is he blessing me? Is he not blessing me? And based off of my circumstances, then saying, well, he loves me or he doesn't love me. So if things are going well, then he must love me, you know? And if things are not going well, oh man, he must not love me. But what I'm doing is I'm looking to my circumstances and the fluctuation in the world around me as indicators of my standing with God, which is different than resting in the foundational truth of the gospel that I am in Christ, loved by God, secure before him, filled with the Spirit, tethered to his life eternally. Like, in other words, I have to believe the gospel and believe that the gospel is actually more real than my circumstantial fluctuations. Because what can happen is I can say, you know, if things are going well, then God loves me. If they're not going well, God doesn't love me. But the reality is God loves me for Jesus' sake, because of what he did when he died in my place and for my sake and offered his life on my behalf and reconciled me to God. That gospel foundational reality is true and it's firm, and nothing that happens in my life, good or bad, touches that foundational reality. Paul says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. Mm-hmm. None. And that's so important for us, Pastor Larry, I think, because if we think, okay, well, maybe Jesus is like 99% for me, but there's 1% left out there, and then God might condemn me with that 1%. And then when I get cancer, I go, oh, there it is. There it is. He's, I knew it. I knew he wasn't 100% for me in Jesus. Now I've got cancer. You see what I'm saying?
Like, yes.
In other words, we're not believing the gospel. We're not believing that even if I have cancer, that God still loves me, and that he's for me, and that what Jesus did on the cross is more durable and powerful and real in my life than the cancer I'm facing.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But what's hard for us is to recognize that God might in love still allow hard things into our lives. That's the challenge for every single one of us. And that's where the faith comes in. Like even the Apostle Paul, he's got the thorn in the flesh. He's praying, take it away, take it away, take it away, three different times. And God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. You're gonna live with this. Mm-hmm. It's not going away. But it's not because I'm condemning you. It's not punitive. This is here to purify you, to build you up, to humble you and show you my grace so you live by my grace. And so you know that my grace is sufficient for you every single day. I'm going to make you weak so that you know my power. And that's actually good for you, Paul. And what we struggle with that. Like this idea, like maybe God in love would actually allow something hard to come and even stay in my life. Mm. But his grace is sufficient for all of these things. And so what we need is we need to remember the gospel in such a way that it is so, we are safe in this covenantal love of God, so that that becomes the lens through which we view our suffering, not allowing the suffering to drive away the deeper truth that we are safe and secure in the love of God. That's what remembering God does. We're remembering who we are in his covenant love, that he's always for us, never against us, and that no matter what we face, his grace is sufficient and we can cling to him. And when that love is so strong, our circumstances can't snatch us out of his hands. That's where we need to rest.
Oh, that is the gospel. We have been reconciled to God. We're at peace with God now. We are his children. And yes, we'll stumble, we'll fail, but his love never fails us. But Pastor Philip, I have to be honest. I'm going to speak for our listeners who are in Iowa and in Ohio and Montana right now, who want to know, well, how do I focus on this love that you're talking about when I'm in one of these dark pits?
Mm.
Yeah. Right. You know, it's fine. I understand grace and mercy, but man, things are pretty desperate for me right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's important to remember the past, to where God has been faithful in the past. I think we've talked about this before, but like even just keeping a journal of like God, a testimony of God's faithfulness. You've got the Old Testament, which is God's record of faithfulness to his people in the Old Covenant. You've got the New Testament, God's record of faithfulness to the New Covenant people. But what about your own testament? What about the testimony of God's faithfulness in your life? Like if you think back over your life, just where has God shown up for you? Where has he moved? When did he save you? Where has he shown up again and again? Like documenting those things, because what happens is you get in the moment where you're disillusioned and you're in pain and you're frustrated and you're aggravated with God, and you need something to get you out of that moment to remember the bigger picture of God's faithfulness in your life. And so that's really important. So looking back and remembering is really important. I think clinging to grace in the moment is really important. Like God's given you
like you might be in pain, but you woke up this morning and you've got clothes on your back and you've got food on your table and there's, you know, there's a sunrise and the wind is blowing and there's flowers in the garden and there's glory all around you. It's if you'll willingly distill it out, like every life, every moment in life is a gift. I have a friend who he got cancer and he thought he was going to die and then he beat cancer and he just every day he wakes up and he's like, it's another miracle, another day just to do the same old things, to love his wife, to kiss his kids, to go to work. It's like his same aggravations. He's still got traffic. He's still got pain in his life. He lives with chronic pain, but every day is a miracle and he thanks God for it because it's another chance. He didn't think, he thought he wasn't going to have any of this and he has it. So like every day is actually a miracle if you'll cling to these graces and focus on them. And then of course, looking to the future and trusting God's promises. Like he has a good, glorious future for every single one of us. And I think keeping those promises in front of you is really important. Just write them out, like verses of promise from the scripture. Put them on little index cards or put them on your phone and your notes app or whatever. And just like, just regularly put your eyes on the hope of the gospel future that you have coming to you in Jesus Christ. He's secured it. It's yours. Meditate on it and remind yourself in this moment, these light and momentary sufferings are working for me an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison because of what God's doing, and I can trust him.
Amen. You know, I'm reminded that Malachi really wasn't written to an individual. It was written to a community. And so, beloved, be encouraged. There's work for us and the family of God here too, yes?
Yeah, we get to remind each other of these truths, right? Yeah. And that's where the body of Christ is so powerful because if we're on our own, isolated, we tend to forget. We tend to lose our bearings. We tend to forget the story. We tend to forget God. But when we're in community, in the church, with brothers and sisters, they can remind us. They can say, wait a minute, remember the Lord. Remember his faithfulness. Remember this moment won't last forever. Remember his promises and where it's going. Remember his grace right here, right now, that's yours. You're a living, breathing, walking miracle, right? Like to just, this is where other people can really help us, the role of community in the church in reminding us of God and his story. We are his people.
Oh, be encouraged today, beloved. And that's the strength of testimonies when we hear them in the body of Christ as well. We need those testimonies to remind us of the wondrous love of God to help you build that endurance. We're offering Rebecca Lutzer's book, Life-Changing Bible Verses Every Woman Should Know. Rebecca shares her own personal story of grace in chapter 14 and touches on themes we all wrestle with, like shame and forgiveness. You know, as the wife of Pastor Emeritus Erwin Lutzer, I personally know Rebecca, and she's been a pillar in the community here at the Moody Church for years. And in this book, she shares the verses that speak directly to the issues women face most. In whatever season of life they're in, this book will speak to them. And it's structured to make memorizing and studying the Bible practical and approachable, helping you to not just read the Word, but to be transformed by it. She also addresses the deep heart concerns of mothers with sections on disciplining your children, protecting our children, and even praying for our prodigals. Now, if you're looking for a Mother's Day gift, this is absolutely perfect for the women in your life. Not just biological mothers, but those spiritual mothers as well who care for our souls. It's a way to say thank you while sharing with them the truths and the hopes found only in the Word of God. Now, for a limited time, we're offering life-changing Bible verses every woman should know for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com or 1-800-215-5001. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.